Okay, are you ready to move on into chief weakness?
Well, I was ready to leave Chief Weakness myself.
I mean, excuse me, into repairing the past?
I'm willing to wrestle with repairing the past.
All right, I'll read the header. Out of habit, ordinary man lives in one centrum only. When it is burned out, the centrum dies and becomes useless. At that point, a man can no longer work because he is already one third dead.
Yikes.
That's what I
So,
said.
out of habit, we use one single centrum until it is useless, and then, when it is burned out, we move like a gypsy into another camp. What do they mean here? What does E.J. Gold mean by, what is a centrum? What are the centrums? Do we know? Some wisecracker here in our large
And it's a, yeah,
in
that's
our
a lot
large
of background noise on the tape. It's kind of good to keep the conversation through the mic. So maybe, Silverdale, would you be willing to speak to that a little bit? No?
no.
I want to know about the burned out part. It drives me nuts. Like, what do we walk
Well,
around like a.
does anybody have? Let's just guess. What are the, what says here? Three centrums, right? Something like that.
I
Do we
see
need?
technically sorry, the centrums that I know, technically, this is not, I'm not knowledgeable in them under this teaching's view, but I know is the emotional centrum, the intellectual centrum, and the mobility or instinctual centrum.
That's the emotional centrum and the mental centrum and the moving centrum.
That's it. That's all I know.
So are we going to buy off on Guillermo's, what he said here? Anybody else? I mean,
That
should we
doesn't tell
vote?
us what a centrum is, however. And so, in my guess is that a centrum is a way of constellating experience, or a way of, it's a mode of perceiving life, or a way of an area in your being where you can locate your center of awareness and perceive through that mode of being. So it's like there's a di very different energetic with each of the different centrums, and there are different experiences that are available through each of the different centrums, and the way that we perceive the same event will be radically different depending on which of those centrums is in focus, or where our attention, not just our attention, but our energy is located in that centrum, then it biases the way we perceive life.
Okay.
Pathworld said, but there's five. Five what? Townsend Girl said, where we sort of live in the human biological machine? Yeah, like that.
How we approach the world.
And how we allow the world to approach us.
So we're kind of okay with emotional, mental, and moving centrum.
There's no comments coming up about this, so.
Okay. So to jump ahead a little bit on 144, In ordinary life, it would be our fate to die first in one centrum, then in another, finally in a third, the death of each centrum signaling the onset of a mysterious new illness, which are called by scientists of contemporary medicine civilization diseases. Nothing available in the course of ordinary events would prevent this inexorable disintegration. When one centrum dies, the machine can no longer function as a transformational apparatus, and we are constrained to send those away who are dead in one or more centrums, unless they are useful to our work as a community. Sometimes it is possible to use a special ancient, Sumerian method, what the Essenes living near Alexandria called raising the dead. We may, if necessity arises, be able to repair a machine which is beyond ordinary hope. But this is so expensive, we cannot do it unless we have help from higher dimensions, which means it is somehow profitable for the work of higher dimensions. For any hope of possible evolution, the machine must not only be awake, but whole, its centrums intact and functional. It is not enough to begin now to live in more than just one centrum. Already we have wasted precious time by restricting our life and attention to only one centrum. Now we must not only repair the present, but also repair the past. We can repair the past to some extent by reviewing the life of the machine, at least its most important points, through the colored lens of those centrums we ordinarily do not use. Our three-centrum review of the life of the machine conforms to the law of catching up, thanks to our past identification with one dominant centrum of the sleeping machine. We already know quite enough about the other reciprocal law, the law of falling. Now, at the end of each day, review impartially everything you did, along with everything that happened to you. But do not review these in an ordinary way. You are to make three separate and distinct passes through these events, reviewing each event through one of the three main lenses, sensing, feeling, and thinking, one lens at a time. The purpose of this exercise, you should keep three separate journals, one for each centrum, each journal in the subjective language of its own unique centrum. Do we understand the exercise?
There's a lot of Z's showing up on the screen.
Z's?
Z's, yeah. Sinhag has fallen asleep all of a sudden in self-defense after our comments about dead centrums and the night of the living dead. You're scaring the something or other out of everybody.
Mm-hmm. So we have a little bit of a sense of what the centrums are, right?
Oh, it was his dead centrums that were falling asleep, not all of them.
I see. Okay.
I'm really intrigued by this exercise. But you know, I really love practical work on self, and so I love your examples. When you guys come up with examples, it just really gets me going. So, can you elaborate a little bit more? Like, if you, David or Teresa, if you were to take one experience from your day and look at it from the three different aspects of sensing, feeling, and thinking.
I'd have to be able to remember my day.
Well, let's see. You could take this experience you're having now. when, like when you go to bed tonight and you think about, gee, when I was on the tape with PWS, what was, how would you then think about
okay,
it?
Okay, that's, yeah, I can certainly, I can do that right in this moment. Okay, right now I have a bunch of my weight actually on my right, on my right calf, and my left is over it, and I can feel the warmth of my skin where it's touching, and it's a little bit slippery because I put some lotion on earlier. I took a shower before, and I feel my weight also pressed in on my sits bones and in the back of the chair, and my hands are on top of my head. Now, the sensing centrum and from a position of sensing, I can feel the energetics moving in my body. I can feel a very slight breeze on one of my hands that isn't on any of the others, and I could go on. That would be the diary from the sensing centrum, what I would be, you know, experiencing in terms of movement. I'm also squirming a little. I'm sitting in two swivel chairs at the same time or leaning back, and they're moving opposite directions. So then if I'm moving from the emotional centrum, then it would be maybe, and my distinction on this might not be as good, but it might be my being aware of my, at the moment, my fondness for that part of you that's perky and inquisitive, and my feeling of connection with the group. If I reach out a little bit with my feeling sense, sensing the way that the group, everybody has their little line of light that's woven together, and you know, feeling that, and just the connections, and just feeling the emotional experiences, you know, how I feel about different people, but and not the lower negative emotions. Right, for me right now, the feeling of expression and connection that happen, that emanate from people and from me, and the synergy between us. And then in the mental centrum, I'd be aware of the way that I'm putting my thoughts together, and also my self-observation in terms of noticing whether my diction is good, or whether I just finished my sentence, which I didn't, and how my thoughts are working. And there's probably another different interpretation. That's my experience at the level that I'm at. And then might be that same centrum where I'm going, okay, now is David going to step in and correct me? Anyway,
that
was my
mental centrum.
No, that one wasn't the mental centrum. That was the sleeping machine putting in its two cents.
That's a good example.
Pardon me?
I said that was very helpful.
Good.
Good.
Silverdale?
Yes.
I was wondering if you could speak to the three centrums for a moment.
Oh, you now know. You're going to get him to do it. No, sorry.
Well, no, but, you know, look at this. This is, it's simple to say, but it's naturally complex on how it all works. Actually, there are seven different centrums, right? I mean, we talk about the three that we're most familiar with, thinking, feeling, and moving. But then each of the three different forces within ourselves are comprised of different centrums as well. So, for example, if we just think about one of those three forces, remember, these three forces are co-equal and diametrically opposite.
Right.
Over the course of our lifetime, we only develop one of these three forces, which which we refer to as the historical personality. And so the other two forces, remain latent within us, just undeveloped. In our first force, the historical personality, although it has seven different centrums, we have the most voluntary control over three parts of it: our thinking, our feeling, and our moving. And when it talks about a dead centrum, my understanding is, you know, if as a child you are one of those centrums is shocked by abuse from a parent or from a society or, you know, war conditions or those kind of things, you know, naturally you can blow a circuit, so to speak. But the hope is that you know, most of us are fairly resilient, and as we get older, maybe we learn to repair those centers and get them to in our historical personality, have our thoughts more or less balanced, have our feelings more or less balanced, have our movements, our manifestations more or less balanced. All of that's important in order to begin to activate our non-phenomenal self, which has another series of its own centrums, because it, remember, our historical personality is designed to deal with a world of stimuli comprised of multiplicity and diversity. We're constantly being bombarded by different thoughts or by different feelings or by different manifestations, either from outside or from within ourselves. You know, we're really busy beavers, our historical personality is. Well, the centrums of the non-phenomenal self are entirely different, because that non-phenomenal self of ours, which is latent within all of us and which we can develop just like sending a child to school, has different centrums which allow it to experience undifferentiated unity through vibratory sensation. So if you've ever read the Celestine Prophecy, for example, that's the, you know, point of that book. By the time you get to the last thing, you know, people are interacting with one another not based on conversations like we're having here tonight, but simply by by sending out vibratory sensations, which are a form of communication. Now, once you get that higher, and that's Gurdjieff refers to that as the higher thinking and the higher emotional centrums of which are part of your non-phenomenal force. And then once you get that developed, then you can blend those first two forces and create personal being, which allows you to be kind of a co-creator. It's what every religion attempts to lead us to, but which very few succeed in achieving. Anyway, those are my thoughts on the subject.
What does it mean to repair a centrum, and how would it be repaired?
Well, what that simply means is starting, to my way of thinking, T, that's just self-education. If you want to repair a centrum, if you see something about yourself you don't like, let's say, you could begin to, like a parent studying a child or a teacher studying a student, observe it. Well, let's see, I notice I lose my temper all the time in certain situations. And I don't like that about myself. I wish I could be a little more calm, cool, and collected when somebody punches me, sticks their finger in my eye, you know, that kind of thing. And within that context, through self-observation first, identification of some, you know, what you might consider a flaw or somebody else might consider a flaw, you don't actually try to change it yourself, you just observe it, and in that process of observation, it changes by itself.
Absolutely.
Sometimes over a short period of time, sometimes over a long period of time.
But how do you repair it if it's dead?
Well,
if it's dead, that's a special circumstance. I mean, if it's truly dead, it's beyond the means of this particular group at this particular time. Okay, nobody here has one centrum that is dead. They may have centrums that are underutilized or atrophied, but they're not dead.
Yeah, and you know, Teresa, Gurdjieff really anticipated that very question in just the tone of voice you asked it. And his response was, and this is a, right near the very end of his writing when he realized most people would probably not attempt to take the first step because they'd be so convinced they could never succeed.
Right.
He turns around and he says, hey, listen, try not to worry about whether you have a dead his answer would probably be kind of a laugh. Hey, don't worry about whether you have a dead syndrome or something. Just get to work and start trying to self-perfect, you know,
and
based on everything
so,
you know.
So from a kind of a simple layman's way of thinking about syndromes for the moment, and actually I want to make a side bar to what Silverday was saying about the centrums within the non-phenomenal self and, for instance, the communication that one has in a sense in a an electrical manner or a where the communication, I can't remember the exact phrase that you used, but it's not verbal. It's in a sense a direct perception. I would maintain that most people have had such an experience at one time or another during their life, where they just get what the other person is saying, not mentally, but they almost, in a sense, get it directly as if it was a transmission. Now, if that has occurred at all for you during your life, that means, and to affirm it, that part of the non-phenomenal self is definitely awake and alive. It's there driving. It's driving why we're even here on the phone at all. It's the interplay when we get off the phone, when we get off the internet, when we get off of this conversation, what's going to happen tomorrow? And we're going to see that maybe tomorrow things will work out okay. We'll have a certain energy level that allows us to perform in a certain way. But then on Friday, it'll go down. Saturday, Sunday, oh yeah, the practical work on self class. And then you kind of, it just fades away for some reason. But for the moment, one of the ways we can perform this exercise is to make a journal of our day and do it as mundanely as you are able to do it, and maybe have separate journals, a mental journal, feeling journal, and a moving centrum journal. How did it happen? And then attempt to stand in those positions. Now, you might say, you know, like we all hear the kids that love to just sit at their computer and they play video games, right? And the mother says, you need to get outside. What is she saying at that time? Isn't she encouraging the child to start using their motor centrum a little bit? Because it's not as developed.
It's a good example.
Or we have a person who, as Silverdale mentioned to us, was burnt by some, it could be an enormous emotional event. And whole regions of the feeling centrum get shut down. Why do they get shut down? Survival. It's the best the machine could do and maintain its survival. It's trying to survive as best it can, but it's not in the best interest of the non-phenomenal self. It's trying to do its thing. So if you're emotionally devoid, get out a little bit into the sunlight and see what happens. Try it a little bit. See if you like it.
I've actually seen people, now that I'm thinking about it more, who did have dead centrums, and they do tend to be expelled by communities.
Yeah.
And I've seen several of them with a great deal of work and a great deal of assistance be able to repair them, and other people not be able to repair them.
Yep.
I would say that would be extremely difficult. But for the moment, what we're talking about is people that are just potentially out of balance. Maybe you're you feel the world and it's just You go about it, and it's a wonderful, oh, it felt, you know, you think about how it was. Someone says, well, how was the meeting with so-and-so? Oh, she felt great. It was so nice. She had such a good feeling about us getting together. She really liked it. And then there's no data there to help you actually say what happened. So if you're a feeling person, maybe you need to use your mental centrum a little bit to describe things in a mental centrum manner. And so the whole mix is, let's try this by, or get 3 sheets of paper or something, and just try it. We can basically kind of recall what happened during our day, somewhat, and then go through the day and attempt to re-describe it. First, you describe it how, in the manner that you are. That's how you hit it. That's how you play the ball game. And then come back and maybe try it with the other centrums. See what happens.
Sinhog said, according to Gurdjieff, each center is like a roll of tape. Only so much space on each one. When used up, you're done.
Done.
So, David, reviewing the things, so we pick up the highlights of the day, some highlights that we want to review, the most important parts, and then we see the episode under our feelings, our intellect or thoughts, and the motor centrum.
That's right.
And what would be, for an example of the motor centrum, what would you describe?
Did you move through the space? How did people move? What were your physical movements? How did you see other people moving?
Mm-hmm. Okay, whole picture.
What leg did you favor? Want left leg or right leg? You know, do you use your right hand or your left hand?
Describing a picture without the sound, just the movements.
Yeah, that could be.
Got it. Thank you.
Kind of like the movie Rashomon, but it's your life. That's the difference.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
The recapitulation.
So we're right close to the end of the hour, and David, do you have anything else to say? Do we have any other last-minute questions before we sign off for the evening? It looks like we don't. Okay, thank you for joining us. I hope to hear each of you or see you on the screen next week when we spend some more time talking about repairing the past. And hopefully we'll have some experiences to share with one another of our exercise in examining these different parts of ourselves. And then we'll move on into Chapter 19, Walking Between Raindrops.
Hey.
Pardon me?
Yeah, I do. I have one more quick comment, actually, in regard to just the chapter title, Repairing the Past. Let's say that you were somebody that was mainly... mental or emotional, and you barely, you know, you didn't use your body very much. Repairing the past might involve something like taking up dance or doing movements in a certain way so that you're actually doing it, actually getting out and doing something in an area you didn't do before.
I read too much for years, and then I took up landscaping and did spiritual practices on my breath while I did it, just in order to make myself quit thinking.
Yeah, so you work in the yard, do yard work or something like that. Or let's say you're someone that never actually experiences their emotion. Well, go through the day and describe the world emotionally, just to try to get started. You actually feel things. Huh. And if you never think, try it. You'll like it. How would you know?
But don't like it too much or you'll get addicted and you'll never be able to get out of your head and it'll be like a prison.
Anyway, just that last thought. And that's all I had. And thank you, everybody, for coming. And I really look forward to seeing you next week.
Thanks, David.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. That was awesome. Terrific.
Great.
Thanks, everyone. We'll see you next week.